Welcome to the Global Investor Podcast, a show that focuses on helping foreign investors enter the lucrative U.S. real estate market. Host Charles Carrillo combines decades of real estate investing experience with a professional background in international banking to interview experts in all areas of U.S. real estate investing. Now, here's your host, Charles Carrillo.
Welcome to another episode of the Global Investors Podcast. I'm your host, Charles Crillo. Today we have Flavia Barris. She is a real estate attorney, real estate broker, property manager, and business consultant based out of Southern California. Previously, she was a San Diego Chargers cheerleader who now hosts the popular Lifestyle Solopreneur podcast, which features solopreneur business owners and entrepreneurs who make a full-time income from part-time work. So thank you so much for being on the show today, Flavia.
Hi, Charles. Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, it's great to dive into your background and what you do. So I touched on it briefly, but can you give us a little bit more about yourself, both personally and professionally, prior to becoming a real estate attorney and a real estate broker?
Sure. I guess you kind of like in my bio named the most like interesting factoid is I used to be a cheerleader. I cheered for an NFL team that was based here in San Diego. They are now based in Los Angeles, the Chargers. And great time in my life. That was my life prior to law school. You know, you always kind of have big milestones in your journey. And for me, going to law school was a big milestone. At the time that I became an attorney, so I took the bar and did the whole thing, I also got my broker's license because real estate was always a huge passion of mine. My father was a real estate developer, and he'd always just shared his stories and what he was working on with his family. And so I grew up just being in that world. And I knew, even in law school, I took all the real estate angled courses because I knew that I would end up working in real estate somehow. And that's what I ended up doing. I was a dual licensed broker and also attorney, worked for a very large law firm for a number of years doing real estate transactional law, and got exposure to so many different areas of real estate, as well as different types of clients from, you know, families that had built these legacy portfolios decade after decade, you know, generation after generation, to also big institutional type real estate investment companies. We worked with a lot of home developers. I got to kind of see a little bit of everything, even working a bit with our tax counsel and, you know, even business law comes into play. We form LLCs for clients, all of that. So it was just a great way to learn all the aspects of real estate.
That's awesome. So one thing after going through your bio is that you are very busy. You're an attorney, a broker, a property manager, a podcast host. I mean, how do you manage so many different companies, even if some of them are like complementary to the others?
There is some overlap, which is great, right? A real estate brokerage, property management company. You know, we have a team that sort of straddles both worlds and is involved in all of it. So luckily, I do have great teams, not just in the real estate side, but also like the podcast. Let's just give that as an example. And you know this, you work in podcasting. There's like the easy way to do it. There's a hard way to do it. I have just an amazing team that does the editing, helps me source my great guests. You know, we interview lots of different types of solopreneurs, not just in real estate, but all kinds of different fields, all different ways to make a living, both passive and active. And so I really get to just spend about maybe an hour to 2 hours a week on the podcast. Versus, you know, some people are do-it-yourselfers and they prefer to do all that editing, everything on there. I don't have time for that. So I'm just very, I'm very intentional and strategic in how I spend my time.
Yeah. In 2019, when I was starting this podcast, that was the only way I would do it if someone else like edited it. I'm like, nope, not learning how to do this. And a lot of podcasters I speak to that are very successful today, they started editing themselves. And I was like, nope, like, I don't even want to learn how to do it. Now I have an idea because I'm brought on to Slacks and stuff and videos, and they kind of show me how what we're doing and stuff like this. But for the most part, it's something I avoid, just like you do. But let's talk about your podcast. It's very interesting. I have a lot of people on here that are really focused on obviously creating passive income, creating more freedom for themselves and their families. So why did you become so kind of focused on successful solopreneurs enough to start a podcast on the subject?
Well, so at the so let's go back almost a decade now, but let's go back to the time when I was working 12-hour days for a big law firm, you know, meetings all day, clients, reviewing documents. You know, it was a busy time. And I didn't really have a lot of free time in my calendar or flexibility. You know, the client's needs came first. The law firm's needs came first, you know, and I was compensated well. I was, you know, respected. It was a great sort of chapter in my life. No regrets. But I did suffer sort of a very traumatic experience where I had to live in a hospital for almost a month because I gave birth 2 months early. So I had a little preemie baby who was in the NICU at a hospital. The hospital was great. They let us live there. So they gave me a hospital room so that I could visit my daughter, you know, every hour on the hour. I mean, it was just, you know, I was in there probably the majority of my time. Hospital had terrible Wi-Fi. You know, clearly I couldn't do any work. So I just made a call to the law firm and I said, something has happened. My maternity leave that I was supposed to go on, you know, a month or two from now is now effective immediately. Like I am now on maternity leave. Sorry. And, you know, we think we're indispensable and all the projects I was working on and all the things I hadn't handed off, I felt like what's going to happen, but you know, everything figures itself out and everyone just kind of covered for me and took over my files and my work and life went on at the firm without me. And I had this profound feeling of being sort of less important in that professional world than I thought I had been, but also a realization that there are things much more important than work. And for that month, because I wasn't working and at the, you know, I couldn't trade time for dollars. I mean, I was in a hospital living there. They had no Wi-Fi. You know, clearly my focus was on important things. And the only income that was just completely unaffected was royalty income. You know, I had done some things where I got royalty income, rental income from real estate. It was like the tenants didn't care if I was in the hospital or not. I mean, they just paid their rent, you know, it was just this feeling of, oh, I need to put a little more focus on those passive income strategies because I mean, now I'm in a hospital and this is not a good situation, but if I ever just wanted to go on a sabbatical or just start a different business, you know, I need to have more things that don't require my daily minute by minute attention. And that's when I started to pursue solopreneurship and doing more things and building more businesses. And part of that was talking to people and saying, what do you do for a living? Especially successful people who really had already gone down that path and putting those conversations out there as a podcast is not only fun for me and enjoyable, it's like I get to like have these great almost coffee dates, you know, several times a week with amazing people. I learn from every single guest. It's been an amazing journey. I love doing that podcast. It is not something I do out of like obligation. I do it because I love it.
Yeah, it's very interesting. When I was going through the episodes and it was very wide ranging and a lot of different people had made money. And it's very interesting. There's a lot of interesting people on there and a lot of interesting industries that people are part of. But going a step further with that, so you have guests on your show, many different business backgrounds. But since we focus on real estate on the show, what are some of the most common real estate strategies you have seen used to build income as a solopreneur?
So, you know, my podcast is focused on solopreneurship in general, but mostly like lifestyle solopreneurship, right? Things that tend to either be passive or that you can do and still maintain autonomy of schedule and of life. So interestingly, a lot of the guests are real estate experts or real estate business people because real estate does kind of lend itself to that. Personally, I'm a big fan, and this is a strategy we do, in single family homes as rentals. You know, and real estate is not a one size fits all. And it's also kind of a choose your own adventure because there's so many different things you can do in real estate. I'll give you an example of something I don't do, but a guest on the podcast does this and spoke about it at length. He buys distressed notes. So he doesn't buy any real estate. He buys the debt on real estate. So, you know, maybe someone's behind on their mortgage. the lender doesn't want that on their books. So they sell it to someone like him who can buy these distressed notes. And he has the time and resources and patience and, you know, the ability to sort of talk to that borrower, help them get back on track, get that note performing again. And so it's really interesting, right? You can buy debt, you can buy real estate, you can become an investor in like a real estate investment trust or a syndication, you know, kind of like a smaller sort of business venture with other investors. There's rentals, there's house flipping, you know. So I'll tell you something that I do. I don't do house flipping. I think I've seen too many people jump into that and it didn't go well, because as a real estate lawyer, people come to me with their problems and with sort of sticky situations. Yeah. So I kind of see the worst of every type of real estate venture, probably. So maybe I'm a little more conservative, a little more pessimistic on risk. But so we love single family homes as rentals, and also sort of smaller, I mean, they're not technically multifamily, but duplexes, triplexes, quads. Multifamily would be, you know, five units and above. So that's not multifamily, but I like that kind of small scale multifamily. And then for anything that's local to us, I love furnished rentals, either midterm or short term, depending on what's allowed with like the city permitting and what makes sense for that spot. Because furnished rentals generally generate more revenue for the same piece of property. But personally, I don't like to outsource the management for those. There's a lot more management involved. It's truly the hospitality industry and not just pure real estate. And so for that, we like to keep it local and under control. But for single family homes, we actually prefer markets outside of Southern California. We like the Midwest, and even, you know, down into Georgia, you know, different markets like that. Florida's great. I don't invest in Florida, but it's one market I would consider.
Yeah, there are a lot of areas, a lot of growth, and obviously you're kind of you're avoiding some of the, let's see, some of the rules and regulations of California, especially Southern California.
California has a lot of. I teach landlording. I've taught it at the community college for 10 years. And in those 10 years, you know, all my little graduates and alumni, I mean, I'd have people in my class would show up, and I'd, at the beginning of the class, I'd say, who in here is brand new to landlording? And, you know, hands would go up, and I'd say, who's been landlording for between, you know, 1 and 5 years, more hands go up. And sometimes I'd have people all the way at the 20 year mark, they'd raise their hand. I'd be like, I would love to know why you're here in this class on landlording, you know, as a 20 year veteran of this industry. And they're like, because I've been doing this for so long, I'm sure that there's new ways and new things. And, you know, I want to keep up to date. And California is one of the worst. I mean, that class has a lot of shocked faces in the audience, because they're like, oh, wow, that's not great for the landlord. I'm like, yes, I know, you know, a lot of rules, a lot of regulations.
I'm originally from Connecticut, so I'm not as bad as California or New York, but we are, you know, we're up there in those circles of a little bit more intensive on the tenant friendliness, which makes it a little bit more difficult to manage the properties effectively. But so one last thing I had on your show that I want to kind of touch base on is, because you obviously have people on there, there's more ways of making money as a solopreneur than just real estate. Just yes. Like, you know, what are some other, let's say, popular businesses and industries that maybe you regularly see that people create passive income through?
So writing books. And I know that sounds like, well, that's not very new, because that's been around since, you know, I mean, I'm like Shakespeare, like books have been around forever. But the ability to sort of self-publish a book to something like Amazon, or even just to sell an ebook, like a PDF that you write that has something very useful in it. The ability to do online commerce and to reach multitudes, right? With social media, and or you can pay for ads on Google. You can make a YouTube channel. I mean, there's so many different ways to get your knowledge out into the world. And people, if you're somebody who gets asked all the time to go out to coffee so someone can pick your brain on some topic you're really an expert in, or have some particular, you know, niche expertise, you're the kind of person that could probably put that knowledge into a book or a course or some coaching and like sell your time, sell your knowledge, sell that. So royalty income is great. Coaching, I know people doing very well. It's very flexible too, because you can kind of design that how you want it. But I've had some guests that, you know, have businesses I never would have thought of. Like one of my episodes, it's one of my favorites. It's an early episode. So this might've been like circa, I don't know, 2017, 2018. You'd have to go way back in the archives, but they're all on there. You know, you go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, whatever's your favorite, is Elaine Haney. She designs t-shirts. So every morning she'll sort of get up, kind of do a little research, poke around, and think of a great t-shirt that would appeal to some sort of a niche. And one of her niches was the horse lover industry, you know, people who are into horses. So I don't know, she'd maybe make a shirt on like, I'm a thoroughbred mom or something, right? And she would just like design it very quickly, very simply, mostly just fonts and things, not a lot of artwork, put it up. And she built this huge inventory of designs, but she never printed a t-shirt or sold a t-shirt because Amazon did that for her. Her job was just to post a design. And then Amazon, if someone bought it, you know, would advertise it for her. If someone bought it, Amazon would print the shirt, ship it, and then she just gets a check. And, you know, she built up this huge library of designs because she would just consistently and slowly, steadily upload those. So yeah, anyone who's interested in maybe you love t-shirts or you have like a great mind for funny sayings or something clever, or you're an artist, go check out that episode with Elaine Haney. And that's an interesting business. I've had people like that guy I told you about. He buys debt, you know, he buys notes, gets them to perform again. He sometimes buys them for like pennies on the dollar and has done really well doing that. There's like a kind of limitless. Someone is really into storage units as their kind of real estate venture. It's great to see the variety.
Yeah, there's definitely riches and niches. I knew someone that wrote greeting cards for Hallmark, and it was, yeah. You know, so it's like, it's so many different ways you can make money. I think reading the 4-Hour Workweek decades back with Tim Ferriss, and then it kind of like opened you to what he was doing. And now there's so many other industries that have become more accessible. Maybe they were still around then, but like the coaching one's a great one, with people that have a lot of niche knowledge that they can really focus in on and provide to other people. Do you have money sitting in the stock market and you're worried about it? Or worse, you have money sitting at the bank, not keeping up with inflation? My name is Charles Carrillo, founder and managing partner of Harborside Partners. And since 2006, I've been investing my money and my family's money into income producing properties. These are real assets, real properties with real addresses that produce real cash flow. At Harborside Partners, we provide passive investors who love real estate with a turnkey investing solution. If you want to put your money to work in real estate but can't find deals, don't have the time to get funding, and the last thing that productive people want to do is manage real estate. We find the deals, we fund the deals, and we manage the tenants, the termites, and the properties. Partner with us at investwithharborside.com. That's investwithharborside.com. Go to investwithharborside.com. If you love real estate, you like the idea of passive income, and believe that income-producing properties will appreciate over time, go to investwithharborside.com. That's investwithharborside.com.
So as a real estate attorney, as a broker, you're around a lot of real estate investors, right? And as you said, you know, some of them come to you before there's any issues, and a lot of them come to you after when they do have issues. So what are some common mistakes you might see real estate investors make, or, you know, solopreneurs, anybody like that, that is maybe a common?
This one's unfortunate. You know, I see, especially now, there's a lot of YouTube sort of gurus telling people, you should flip homes, or, you know, buy real estate with zero down and here's how you can invest. There's also, you know, do Airbnb, have a vacation rental, and you don't even have to buy the property. You can just, you know, find a landlord who will lease you their property, and then you can operate it as an Airbnb. And it's great that there's people out there teaching these strategies, but they usually don't go into a lot of detail and usually don't sort of warn people about all the downsides or fully prepare them for how to actually run that business or get involved. And sometimes there's a lot of liability and, you know, big dollar signs of risk or expenses. And I have seen situations where people dive into that And they didn't know enough. They didn't really have mentorship beyond just that kind of superficial learning. And they get into legal trouble, you know, and that's unfortunate. It's like, if you were going to start a pie shop and you've never baked a pie, you either have to hire the right employees and managers, or you have to get the right consultants or the right mentor, you know, but it's, you don't want to just go in there and try to bake the pie based on a recipe in a book, you know, or watching a few YouTube videos, because it's just not enough experience to get it right.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it's one of those things now, because it's very like clickbaity. And years back, I was just like testing out different titles. And I did put up one podcast, YouTube video like it, that was like No Money Down Buying Real Estate. And I got so many clicks on it. But it was, I mean, it was like in 5 minutes, right, of just going through a few different strategies. But it is a, there are a lot of people out there that don't have money that want to get involved in real estate. So that's why you're seeing all these different strategies that don't require cash up front, or they don't think. But it's also a really slippery slope, because if I'm mentoring people, that's like one of the first questions I'll have with people is just like, what is your, you know, what does your personal finances look like? Because, you know, if you need $25,000, you need a lot more than $25,000 to buy a property. That's like a down payment. We have all these other things going on here too. And people don't add that up, or they go in very undercapitalized, and then they're pulling money on credit cards. It's a whole mess when you see it. So yeah, it's too bad that the industry has kind of gone that way.
The other one I see that's kind of a mistake is, so real estate investing and sort of gathering other people to invest with you into real estate is highly regulated. Mm-hmm. Laws are designed to protect people from fraud and from sort of losing their nest egg investing in things. And so we have a lot of laws that protect investors and also restrict what you can do when you want to sort of gather money together from other people, even from friends and family. So a lot of people don't realize that there are these rules around what, you know, we call in the industry syndication, which is where, you know, you see this great apartment complex. You're like, that is a phenomenal real estate investment. Wow. That, I can't believe that building's only $4 million. I can probably get a loan for, you know, $3 million. I just need to gather $1 million. But if I know, you know, 20 people at work and I can just show them this building and tell them, hey, let's all pitch in 50 grand and, you know, gather enough people, and if we all have 50 grand and we put it together and then there's this loan, sure, that is a legitimate sort of business model, but it's highly regulated. So you can't just jump in and do that. You need to have attorneys. You need to have all, you know, check all the boxes to make sure you're doing that properly. Otherwise, you as the person organizing this, as kind of the ringleader, can be in a lot of trouble, like even criminal charges. If you don't do it right, even if your intentions were great.
Yeah. And that's just one of the things, is people are going into these very advanced strategies without really having a base of real estate investing knowledge. And like you were saying about the flipping, you know, flipping's put as something, oh, you make money and, you know, you make money fast, all this kind of stuff, but there's a lot of risk. And I flipped houses before, and it's just many years ago, and it's a lot of risk. It's a lot of risk. It's a lot of work. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts with it. And people really underestimate what stuff costs, no matter where you are. And yes. It's just like when you're renovating stuff, like, well, it's $30,000. Well, how do you know it's $30,000 and not like, if it's 50, will you still make money? And that's when you kind of get a glazed over eyes on it, because it's, you know, you have to buy with a huge discount because there's going to be a lot of stuff that pop up, just like anything. I mean, that's why we have reserve funds and we kind of like really press that. But so over many decades, you have many different businesses. Your dad was in real estate. You've seen business from the inside out. I mean, how has your relationship towards money changed over the years, Flavia?
Such a great question, because money is such a, it's almost philosophical, right? And everyone's like, money doesn't buy happiness. And I always tell people, absolutely, I believe that money does not buy happiness. But I think in the hands of a happy person, money is a great tool, because it is, even real estate is kind of a ladder. Like there's sort of a way to gradually climb and make your way into real estate as an investor and grow, but you have to approach it with the right mindset. And the money mindset's important too. I have changed over time primarily because I was sort of raised and my personality type is to be quite frugal. Like I'm a frugal person. So I like to sort of get good deals on things or save money where I can. And, you know, on one hand, it's great to have that personality because it helps you be a saver. But on the other hand, you maybe sometimes don't spend where you should, or you DIY where you should actually just hire a professional to do it, you know? So I think those are the things that for me personally, I've changed over the years. I'm much more likely now to sort of even pay premium to hire professionals to do the things that I know are in their, you know, wheelhouse, and that I'm just better off having the pro do it.
That's a great way. Yeah. And when you figure out exactly what your time's worth, when you can do that kind of calculation, it makes those decisions, myself being frugal as well, it makes those decisions much easier, because then you're just like, okay, well, I should be spending my time here more. And kind of, it's hard to pull the trigger when doing it the first time. But every time that I've let other people do things for me and, you know, like hired people to do it, and I've never really looked back and said it was a bad idea. So, but it takes right. a little, it, right. especially if you grow up with it and your family normally does it, you know what I mean? Then to hire someone for it could be a little weird up front, but you know, you really see a savings with your time and what you can really put that towards. So as we're finishing up here, what are some main factors contribute to your success over all the years and all the different industries and businesses and activities you've been part of?
I think I've always had the, just the attitude that you can figure things out, right? Like sometimes, I try not to like box myself in. I try to be open to like different ideas and never to feel intimidated to, you know, oh, well, that's, I've never done that before, so I don't want to. No, that's never been my approach. Like I like to feel that with the right research and the right resources and help, we can really kind of do anything we set our minds to do. And for me personally, I learned so much, not just from my podcast guests, but people around me. I mean, you surround yourself with the people that you aspire to be more like, right? And I've had that privilege just even through the types of clients that I helped when I was part of a big law firm, and my clients now that I hung my own shingle. I have my own law firm, and it's I learn from them, you know, and I watch how they do business and how they grow. And I like to follow in a lot of those footsteps. I'll give you an example. I had a podcast guest, and you can look him up actually if you're interested in investing in the Georgia market. His name's Mike Wolf. And we had this great interview. And at the end of it, I'm like, Mike, I want to invest in Georgia. And he's like, great, you know, let's do that. You know, the Atlanta area. And I actually ended up investing in Atlanta. Kind of in the suburbs. And now I've had those investments now for years, and they've been some of the best in our portfolio. And it was all because I listened and I was open and I said, you know, I've never done that before. I don't know that market, but I did my research and I was open to these possibilities, and I'm so glad I did. And I think life just is an accumulation of those types of moves, small kind of strategic moves where you're open to new experiences and you make progress.
That's awesome. That's a great example. So how can our listeners learn more about you and your business? And I'll put all these links into the show notes.
Yeah, sure. That's great. I mean, there's different ways I can help your listeners, especially if they happen to be in California, because California is where I'm licensed as a real estate attorney. I do business law as well. I also help people with trusts, formation of trust for their family legacy, estate planning, that sort of thing. And it's Barris Law. So my last name and then law, LAW, BERYSLAW.com for the law firm website. But if anyone just wants to invest in real estate, to buy or sell real estate, I know real estate agents all over the country. I just helped a client sell a house here. I was the listing agent for the house here in San Diego. And with that house, after selling it, they were able to do a 1031 exchange. And I connected the client with a great real estate agent that I know in the Tennessee market. And they were able to get, you know, two amazing properties there which just from an investment perspective are going to do even better than the San Diego property did. And so I love that kind of connection, and also helping clients with their investment goals. And for that, you'd go to bookmarkrealty.com. That's my brokerage website, bookmarkrealty.com.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. And I'll put all that information to the show notes, and looking forward to connecting with you here in the near future.
Yes, let's stay in touch, Charles. I'd love that.
Hi, guys. It's Charles from the Global Investors Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you're interested in getting involved with real estate, but you don't know where to begin, set up a free 30-minute strategy call with me at ScheduledCharles.com. That's ScheduledCharles.com. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Global Investor Podcast. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Google Play to get new weekly episodes. For more resources and to receive our newsletter, please visit globalinvestorpodcast.com. And don't forget to join us next week for another episode.
Nothing in this episode should be considered specific, personal, or professional advice. Any investment opportunities mentioned on this podcast are limited to accredited investors. Any investments will only be made with proper disclosure, subscription documentation, and are subject to all applicable laws. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, financial, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own. Information is not guaranteed. All investment strategies have the potential for profit or loss. The host is operating on behalf of Syndication Superstars, LLC, exclusively.